Sherry Elliger Show, starring Sherry Elliger.
Ring, ring, diving in.
Oh, boy, lots of news to get to. All right, let's see. Oh, no, Bill Gates. I thought he was Mr. Vaccine. That's right. If you get the vaccinated, you can still get COVID, as we've been able to prove. There's really no such thing as a breakthrough. You get it. I was telling Sherry, I was reading a piece. So the FDA, when they did the study of the vaccines that were being presented under the emergency authorization, they said, well, what are you going to be able to, what are we going for here? Think of it like a baseball game. Home run, single, double, triple, trying to get a third. And they said, the vaccine producer said, we're going to get to the point where it just reduces the severity of the infection, or you don't get sick, or when you do get sick, you don't end up in the hospital. That's what we're going for. We're not going to go for does not stop it. You can still transmit it, but we're just going to try to lower the symptoms of it. And the FDA said, fine. The reason they couldn't do more, which is stop transmission entirely and basically inoculate you so that you don't get the virus. They said they didn't have enough people in the study. I don't know how many people were total amount in the study when they were first working on this thing before they released it. They said they don't have enough in the study in order for it to be able to go, you know, inoculating so you just don't get sick. So that's why people get sick even after getting the vaccine. And Bill Gates announced that this is him the other day anyway. He said today he has symptoms, but he's doing well.
It wasn't until early February when I was in a meeting that experts at the foundation said, there's no way, you know, there's been too much travel without diagnosis for us to contain this. And then at that point, we didn't really understand the fatality rate. You know, we didn't understand that it's a fairly low fatality rate and that it's right. A disease mainly of the elderly, kind of like flu is, although a bit different than that. So that was a pretty scary period where the world didn't go on alert, including the United States, nearly as fast as it needed to.
Okay, so Bill has announced that he's got COVID. By the way, have you come back down with it again? I know you've been injected every 15 minutes.
No, huh? I haven't. No? I think I'm not one of the 200 million that has gotten it. What about you? Do you think you've gotten it and didn't know
it? I got it, yeah.
You did?
Yeah, I got COVID, I didn't know.
Okay.
I didn't make a big deal about it. That's, you know, I don't need to get on there like Bill Gates talking about, I got COVID, or Jacob. Jacob seems to get it every 15 minutes. Yeah, my girlfriend has COVID. I need to leave now. Sherry, how many times have Jacob go, I won't be in tomorrow. I have to quarantine.
I only remember once. He only did that once. His girlfriend had COVID, and then I think you had COVID, right?
That's right.
Jacob?
Yeah. Those were the two cases. It was either I had it or it was an exposure. But yes, John's worked with me a little longer. There have been a few false scares before.
Here's what Bill Gates said. He said, I've tested positive for COVID. I'm experiencing mild symptoms, and I'm following the experts' advice by isolating until I'm healthy again.
Oh, please.
Remember, he was the one that thought we should be like Australia. So hopefully he's locked himself in a room and he won't come out for months.
Yeah. I'd seen this piece today. This is a public health professional, Lori Garrett. This is in 2018, she said.
There's only a couple of countries that have ever really done large-scale studies to try and figure out what might work. Japan, it may not surprise you, is one of them.
She's talking about masks.
And they, in one of their large studies, they basically showed that the masks, it seemed like the major efficacy of a mask is that it causes alarm in the other person. And so you stay away from each other. And that's what I think happened with SARS. When I was in the SARS epidemic, I saw everywhere all over Asia, people started wearing these masks. And it is alarming when you walk down the street and everybody coming towards you has a mask on. You definitely do social distancing. You definitely, it's just a gut thing. But did the mask really help them? Did the mask keep the virus out? Almost certainly not. If the virus was around their face, the mask would not have made the difference.
Okay, 2018. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the Senate, they kicked around this women's, I forget the, what's the official name
the
of
Women's
this?
The Women's Health Protection Act. It's the second time they voted on this. They voted on it the first time in February. It didn't pass, and nobody expected it to pass this time. So they did it again today, and I think it was 49 to 51. It didn't pass.
Right. Chuck Schumer basically said, we want everybody to be on record. We want these people, we want you to see, the American people to see how you're voting. They knew that it wouldn't pass, but they voted on it. A couple things that are in there, unlimited, no restrictions. So right up until you could abort the child a week before delivering the baby. If you decide that you don't want a girl, that you want to do gender selection, you can abort the child. There would be no restrictions at all on the thing. Just flat out, just go ahead. So that was what's in there. And it would be interesting to see. I know I saw somebody from the National Review interviewing Dick Durbin, talking to Charles Schumer and others. What do you think about the fact that there's sex selection, gender selection in there? Are you okay with that? I think a woman should have the right to choose. Yeah, but what do you think about that? Like, if somebody just finds out the sex and then says, well, I don't, because most of the time, they would say, well, they would abort the girl and keep the boy. Would you be okay with that? And nobody answered their question. They all sort of avoided the question. But that's an interesting question because that was in the bill. It's okay to abort the child. There's any reason, you don't need to have, nothing restricts you. All you need to do is your own health, to be the mental health of the mother. So then we'd be like, oh, the mental health of the mother, it would be her health. So then that's a wide sort of open thing. You don't want to put any restrictions on. And if you're okay with that, then you would vote yes for this bill.
Well, it's curious because you would think that if they really wanted it to pass, they might have come up with something a little bit more moderate. To your point about gender selection, I think that would be incredibly rare. But you're right. It is a possibility in there. So, yes, if somebody was that evil, they could potentially do that. But if they wanted, they just knew this was going to pass. And what the objective here now is to use this to vilify the Democrats in order to get people to vote. I'm sorry, to vilify the Republicans in order to get them to vote for the Democrats in the midterms. Whether or not people are going to care more about the abortion issue over the economy remains to be seen. I'd say it's highly unlikely. But this is what Vice President Kamala Harris said. She presided over the vote. She said the result clearly suggests the Senate is not where the majority of Americans are on this issue. She said it makes clear that a priority for the party should be to elect pro-abortion rights candidates at the local, state, and federal levels. So that's what they're going to be doing going forward, is pushing for that.
13% of Americans, when surveyed, are in favor of no restrictions at all, to be able to abort the baby a day before birth. That's 13%. And then you get on the far side, no abortions, absolutely zero, even in incest, even rape, no. So you get the two extremes on either side of it, right? Those are the extremes on the outside. But, you know, legislations and things like that are made for the majority. So if you really believe you represent America by being able to abort all the way up until the last day, that doesn't reflect where most Americans are. Most Americans say, listen, within the first trimester, they're okay with that. Incest and rape, they're okay with that sort of idea of, yes, abortion there. But they just don't like the idea of it going further out. You get less and less support as you move further along in the pregnancy. So Kamala Harris, you know, they just got to keep the most, you know, vocal, the angriest, the craziest on both sides, hard left and hard right. You got to stir that part of the pot to kind of get all the flames and heat going. So that's what they're trying to do. And by the time November rolls around, people are not going to, they're not voting on this issue, right? Do you think this is going to be the thing that drives people to the polls?
I think yes, for some people, but I don't think it's going to sway anything. I mean, for the record, I'm disappointed that the country is going in this direction. The Supreme Court is making the decision that they are. But to be realistic and to be honest, I don't think most people, that's top of mind. I think that it's important to most women that I know. They want to be able to protect their right to have an abortion and to be able to do what they want with their bodies.
Yes.
But as far as it being something that, you know, maybe younger people that might not be dealing with some of the economic issues that a lot of people are, that families are dealing with right now, then, you know, although what really, when you think about that, like, even if you voted in all the Republicans, can they really turn the tide on the economy either? So this is the type of thing that people will struggle with is, you know, is it going to matter that much? Why not vote at least for one thing that I know will then be able to be remedied? And that's this.
So here's the question. Let's take abortion is not the issue. Let's just say it an issue, whatever it is, that's one of the top 5 or 10 that people care about. Would you rather have that issue sitting on the desk of 9 unelected judges to make the determination? Unelected judges. Or would you rather have that decision be made by somebody that you can vote for in or out of office?
Well, I mean, the toothpaste is out of the tube on that one because it's already been done, I think. You know, I mean, I think we can assume that it's a foregone conclusion. So we're not really going to have a choice there. It's going to go back to the states and that's the way it's going to be. The
tricky part. And wouldn't that be okay with you then? Because again, you want it in front of 9 unelected judges. You can't do anything about those 9, right? But you could take any issue, and then it comes back, and now it's at the state level. You would have more power, more sway as an individual. Your voice would mean something at the state level as opposed to there at the Supreme Court.
Yes, and theoretically, you're absolutely correct. But when we think about it in terms of what that will mean and how long that will take, that doesn't help women that are pregnant and need options right now. That could take a very, very long time for, I mean, I'm clearly that ship has sailed for me. So it's not something that's going to affect my life. But if I was of that childbearing age, then I live in a state, Virginia's not that, it's kind of conservative now. So I'm not sure where it's going to go, but I live, you know, 9 miles from DC and 3 miles from Maryland. So I could easily have access to another state. That's not true for everybody. So the tricky part is going to be allowing access to women that really need it. I think the next big thing is going to be abortion pills.
Oh yeah,
and probably a black market on that, which a lot of women, I don't know enough about that science. I don't know enough about the medication to say anything about it, but hopefully that's something that's going to be safe enough for people to do. But again, we're talking very early pregnancies here. You can't do that, I think, after a few weeks. I don't want to say anything because I don't know enough about it, but.
Well, Mississippi's 15 weeks.
Yeah, but I'm saying the 15. abortion pill. I don't know.
Oh, the plan B. The plan B.
Yeah. I'm not sure, but that's still, you have to have it really early in your pregnancy. But I think that's probably going to be what a lot of women will opt for. Just because it will be more accessible.
Right. It stops the egg, fertilized egg from attaching to the uterine wall. And often it's sort of, it has to be taken within a certain number of days. After unprotected sex to sort of stop it in order to be, you know, to actually be effective. But let's see. By the way, is there sound on this one, Jacob? Because can we be optimistic in America and about America? This is from the New York Times.
Well, there's some kind of sound that maybe is relevant that you thought could be relate, which was the Steve Kerr.
Oh, okay, yeah. So Steve Kerr, who is the coach for the Warriors, a meteorologist in Minneapolis,
Memphis.
Memphis had tweeted something really stupid about Damon Green, and Steve Kerr was asked about it. He said,
obviously, we'd love if we could only just talk about basketball, but with the NBA, things spew on Twitter or like overflow and stuff. And there was a weatherman from Memphis yesterday that tweeted a slur in reference to Draymond Green. Did you see that?
A weatherman?
Yeah.
No, I got off Twitter over a year ago, and it's been blissful, and I highly recommend to everybody.
I wish I could do that, honestly. Be great for the mental health.
I did not see that.
Okay. Does that surprise you, though, that somebody would do that still?
Does it surprise me that a weatherman would tweet a slur at Draymond in 2022? Not in the slightest bit. This is America. This is how we operate. So.
Okay, so a fairly pessimistic view of America in 2022 from Steve Kerr, the coach of the Warriors. This piece says, can we be optimistic about America? This is the New York Times. We'll get to that answer. Plus, if we also have time, my brother wanted me to bring up something else we've argued about. Maybe we'll save that for tomorrow, Jacob.
your brother's producing the show now. That is helpful.
Yeah. He's like, did you talk about Michael Bublé? Because my brother does this thing. It's the stupidest thing. I'm like, Chuck, get a life. He'll call me up out of nowhere. Yeah, I got another one that never happened. I'm like, okay, which one's this? Okay, George Clooney. Okay, so Clooney's telling the story about being over in Italy, and he's driving this Vespa or something like that. And he's saying about how on the Vespa this. And I'm like, okay, he goes, so I looked it up. The total amount of distance a Vespa can go is about 280 miles. That depends on the full tank. So he analyzes all this stuff, and he goes, so that whole story is nothing but crap. I'm like, okay. And he goes, okay, I got to go. And he hangs up. So he finds these stories that celebrities tell, and he just says, they're not true. And then he analyzes them. He's done the same thing with Michael Bublé's story about Casey Kasem. He was really emphatic on that one. And then I found it, and he was right.
So
this is what it'd be like having dinner with my brother.
So is this the thing you argued about? Like, you argue and say, no, it is true. George Clooney probably did drive that, and
no, that's the argument?
Or do you just take it?
I just sit there and just listen to him just take it apart, why the story doesn't make sense.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Let's hear it.
We can't. I got Mickey in
my ear, okay.
With the music.
Okay.
Ding-a-ding-a-ding, the music in my ear.
I'm sorry.
No, it's not your fault. There's traffic, and you've got a job to do. At MyNorthwest.com or text as well. Come on in the State Roofing text line, 1-888-973-5476. That is the State Roofing text line. Teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar is going to have letter of the day in just a little bit. Jacob, I'm sorry. I know you worked hard on the show. You got the whole order of the show down. I blew it all up, and we talked about Sherry and her ring, 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 and I apologize. So
that's okay. We call those shoe leather segments, and we just cut them out at the end of the show.
We'll save it. There's a bunch of good stuff, like the guy with the heart attack and the shallow grave, and then the positive America. We got a whole show for tomorrow. You're not even going to be here tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah,
I'm on benefit.
We're done.
This works well for you. So as long as you accept my apology, here's one more story as I hijack. This would be the last thing I talk about with your brother, Sherry. You ready?
Okay. No, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. So Chuck is a lawyer, and when he has time, he likes to analyze stuff. They used to, like, you and that stupid cat of yours, Thomas. Is Thomas around?
Yeah, hang on. Hey, come here. Here he is.
Yeah. So whenever I would tell a story and Sherry's like, oh, I don't know about that. But then the cat's like, that's not true. Thomas and my brother are a lot alike. And then Chuck would hear a story told by a celebrity or by somebody else. And then he would analyze it and take it apart and sit there. He's very argumentative. As an attorney, that's what you want, right? And I've seen him do it with other people, and I'm sure he's just wicked in court taking people's stories apart because he's just ruthless. Goes right to the heart, and then slowly you think you got a friend, and then he just breaks it all apart and then just shows you that your story doesn't make any sense. So he had called me up about a year ago and said, I got a new one for you. I'm like, okay. And he goes, okay, so... Michael Bublé. I go, oh, I love Michael Bublé. He goes, yeah, okay, let's take away that we love him or don't love him. This isn't true. And I said, what's the story? And here is Michael Bublé.
When I was a young boy, I used to do the lawn for my mom every Saturday. And I hated it, because I had one of those really crappy electric lawnmowers, you know what I'm talking about? And the only thing that got me through a big lawn, a two-hour lawn job, was...
By the way, Michael Bublé is from Canada, so remember that part of it. Okay, here we go.
I would put my headphones on, and I would listen to Casey Kasem's Top 40 Countdown. And I'm telling you right now, it got me through. And I don't know who's listened to Casey Kasem's Top 40 Countdown. Okay, most of the people. So for those of you who don't know, it's a beautiful show, and he takes requests. He would say, this is Casey Kasem. This is dedicated to Molly, who just lost her father. And I was going, oh, here you go. And I promise you, the other day, I was listening to the radio, and Casey Kasem got to the number one song in the land with Michael Bublé's Home. And I went, oh! Here it is. Thank you for making it number one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my brother. He says, yeah. Well, Casey Kasem did America's Top 40, and Home never made it to the top. It did go on American Billboard, made it all the way to number one. But with Casey Kasem's top, it didn't go all the way to one. It only went to seven. And by the way, when Home did get to number seven, Casey Kasem wasn't doing America's Top 40. It was being done by Rick Steves. So, not Rick Steves, Rick, whatever his name is.
Yeah, what's that?
So
Seacrest, Ryan Seacrest.
Ryan Seacrest. He said, so it wasn't Casey Kasem. And the only reason that Michael Bublé told that story so that he could do his Casey Kasem imitation. And that's why he did it. So it didn't happen. It just didn't happen. I'm like, okay. He goes, so this total crap, didn't happen story. And I'm like, okay, Chuck. And he goes, all right, I got to go. And he'd hang up the phone.
He's 100% right, because that's true. Casey Kasem stopped doing American Top 40, like, I don't know, 20 years ago or something. So he just wanted, and it's not even a good impersonation.
No, it's not. So, he was not, and that's why he says, so let me tell you, honestly, or whatever that word was, whatever he uses, like, you know, tell me what happened, honestly. I was the other day listening to Casey Kasem, and Casey here's Kasem. Home. No, no. That didn't happen. Sorry, didn't. But he wanted to do Casey. I said, Chuck, can't you let him do that? Oh, he can tell the story if he wants, but just know that I'm out there listening and digging into this stuff and doing the research that needs to be done, and then I'm calling you and telling you it never happened. I'm like,
and here's how the story could have worked. He could have said, I was a big fan of Casey Kasem, and it was my dream to have one of my songs go to the top, and I can imagine it's something like this. And then he could do his impersonation and make it as though, you know, like a pretend thing, you know. But no, he had to go and do it. And it wasn't even a good setup for it. It's like, Casey Kasem, here's Home. I mean, it wasn't even good.
See? Yeah.
Yeah. Chuck's right.
But this is what it's like having my brother who's always – and that's – you know, and I like to sort of shine the apple on some stories, right? You kind of just – you add a few things there and there. So can you imagine the two of us were sitting at the dinner table and I would launch into a story. And because all I wanted to do, the sweetest sound in the world was my father's laughter. Absolutely. If you could get my dad to laugh, it was the greatest. And my father used to do this thing where he used to say when it came to stories, get in, get out. Like you'd be in the middle of a story. My father would go, wrap it up. This is at the dinner table.
God.
And I'd stop, and he goes, get in, get out, make your point, get in, get out, whatever you got, get it, say it, then done, move on, right? And then somebody else would tell a story. So I'd be in there, you know, hurry up, telling some story, throwing a bunch of stuff in, and if I didn't get a laugh from my father, there'd be this silence for a moment, and then all of a sudden my brother would go, that's interesting. So you got on Leo Holt's go-kart, and I'm like, oh, God, here it comes. Okay, so you were heading up Rose Lane or down Rose Lane when you were on the go? And I'm like,
I can't remember. I think I might.
Oh, no, you remember because you just said you were going down Rose Lane on his go-kart. I'm like,
yeah, it might have been. I mean, it might not have been Leo's.
No. It's quite clear. What you had said earlier was that you were on his go-kart going down Rose Lane. And when you got to that jump, and I'm like, it's not really important. Does anybody else have a better story?
Your brother was born to be a lawyer.
Horrible. My dad's like, somebody else get to a story. Come on now.
Get in, get out.
Get in, get out. See what you have to say. Tough. Tough house.
The more I hear about your family, the more I worry about you. About your mom pushing your sister out of the way. Yeah. About your dad.
Come from good and never turning the air conditioner on or the heat on to build character. Look where I am today. I'm all right, aren't I?
Yeah, you're fine. Yeah, I think so.
I'm with Jacob on that laugh.
Living in the cabin in the woods, talking every day about how you're going to shoot it with a shotgun. Oh, sorry, by the way, the mouse.
That poor mouse.
Yeah. By the way, Ben Dietzen writes to me, hey, what does it take to get a job on Cairo Radio? I said, well, that's a great question. You need a tape or a resume or demo. Some Hank shows that you're able to do it. Do talk radio. Do you want a job on radio? Writes back, yes. I think I'd be a great producer or a call screener. Call screener? Yeah, I realize it's time to make an entertainment and serious news. I know how to talk to people. I also used to work in the recording studio and run the board. My old band used to be on the morning show, KGRG. So, Benjamin, if you're listening right now, you can have Jacob's job tomorrow.
Right.
Oh, yes. Another day of great broadcasting, huh?
Yeah.
Wow, it took you a little while to realize what I was talking about. That hurt.
We've got to pound it, and we've got to pound it till it's done.
Did you get my text messages?
Yes, about my chicken that I'm going to eat. I'm going to eat it. I don't care. No, okay. Too late. Here comes a mailman.
Okay.
There's a mailman. We still in a state of emergency, Governor?
We've got to pound it, and we've got to pound it till it's done.
I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
Right to your door. Teeny tiny ladies got the letter of the day. We'll get to that, but first let's take care of all. The rest. It's myself and the mouse working on that.
Can we have an all off sometime? I want to challenge you to all.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, fine. All right. Fine.
You're on.
That'll be for great radio.
Tell that to Brandon or whatever his name is.
Benjamin, you must take your life. Benjamin. Take your job.
Okay.
Here we go.
Police shortage, area code 360. Why would anybody want to work in King County or Seattle when you don't have any support from your city council who wants to get rid of everybody, and then you have judges that turn around and just let everybody go away?
206 says, hey, policing came into being. Sounds like a plot from A Bug's Life. Thank you, 206.
That's true.
Dennis in Seattle said, John, thanks for bringing up Mayor Giuliani.
Dennis, thank you for bringing that up. When it came to the plane landing, the pilot, private pilot 360, says the pilot, the passenger, the Delta, 3 Delta Lima, had certainly flown enough with other pilots to know the call sign, the print, the instrument panel, what the transponder looked like, some other basic operations, the flight controls, radio talk protocol, without having actually touched the radio controls or operating any systems. But I don't know any private pilot who hasn't let passengers fly at least a few minutes during course. I used to let passengers do after takeoff. They would cruise for a while, but not landing. And I'm not a flight instructor, so zero experience packs in 3DL? Nah. Lost me at the end.
Yeah. Ryan in Tacoma said maybe he played flight simulator, or he's watched movies, or he's been in the military.
These are all good suggestions. Thank you, Ryan. Janet, the 425, says maybe this dude's former flight attendant or watches the movie Airplane. Roger, Roger. Yep.
Phone greetings, Roger and Federal. Roger.
Oh, that's accidental.
Yes. Well produced, Jacob. Take tomorrow off. Good job.
John, answer the phone by saying, your dime, my time.
That's good.
Ring, ring.
Your dime, my time. Big Dave in the 360 says, will somebody answer that dang phone?
Ring, ring. 206 says, please stop the ring, ring.
Here's what I love about your ring, ring. You were so anxious to play along. Just listen to the sound, the innocence. You walked right into it. Listen to this again.
Ring, ring.
You're just so excited. Standing ovation, Whidbey Island Girl says, John, I'm trying to get a full visual of you throwing a chair with your bra on Barry Manilow's here. I'll send you the video.
All right.
Looks like we made it. All right.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
Letter of the day. Here we go.
425 says, John, for your custom phone answer, how about John Curley in Tori's signature screen. then you can also say, I got to get out of here, if you don't want to continue the call.
I like that.
Ah, what's going on here?
Yeah, it's really going on here. All right. Oh, that's good. All right. Jacob, enjoy your day off tomorrow. Sherry and I are going to do another hour. Why don't you leave?
She left the bloomer hanging around my front door.